You are listening to the Magnetic Marketing Marketing Secret Gold Members Only Podcast.
So the topic I wanted to go into, which if you're okay with, is how to grow a continuity or membership program, specifically because that's my number one goal at ClickFunnels. My number one goal at Magnetic Marketing is growing continuity programs. So I'd love to go deep in that today for my session, if you're cool with that.
Sure.
Cool. All right. So my first question then is, before we get into like different ideas and different ways to grow, it is specifically like some thoughts on how to structure a continuity program the correct way so that you can actually grow it. I've seen people who build something and then as it grows, it starts collapsing, doesn't work long term. I'd love your thoughts on like how to structure a membership or continuity or newsletter, something in a way that can sustain massive, massive growth.
Yeah. So the reason that, or reasons that you see what you just described. One is that in some cases, the size opportunity just isn't there. So as it gets pushed bigger and bigger, it has to bring in weaker and weaker, poorer and poorer quality subscribers. And thus the retention rate goes down, the attrition rate goes up, and the cost of acquisition, ironically, goes up. So, like Lloyd Conant used to have this theory, and I think at the time he was right, that in the entire United States, there were only 1 million people who could possibly be made into repetitive consumers of success information. And you went beyond that. You were going to wind up in a futile mission. And my guess is that now we've roughly tripled the population, but we haven't tripled its quality. So maybe that number's 2 million. But like with a financial newsletter business, they can only get it so big. And then the issue is the subscriber being brought in. That's why you see companies like Agora and for a time Boardroom when it was in its heyday, instead of continuing to pour people into the one place, they create additional newsletters and additional branded newsletters so they can put the same person in 4 of them.
Is that why when in GKSD days, you guys had the main newsletter, but then you had like Copy Confidential and the Marketing the Fluent, you had multiple different newsletters all running simultaneously at that time?
Yeah, sure. Because internally, a buyer is a buyer is a buyer. And converting virgins is troublesome and expensive. So you will often see the family of publications occur. Just as you saw with us, they were all less than the total subscription. But if you added them all together, you were doubling your revenue. You weren't doubling your body count. You were doubling your revenue in a way that was more palatable to people than simply bundling it all and continuing to jack up the price. So, like if you use that example, you took the affluent letter, the info letter, the looking over your shoulder, and Copy Confidential, and you bundled them all in, and you just raised the price accordingly, you would have significant price resistance. And you'd have a lot of people who could barely handle consuming main product. Now you would overwhelm them, and then they quit because they're getting more than they can use. They start to feel guilty and unsuccessful because they have stuff piling up they aren't able to pay attention to, and now you lose them altogether. When you allow them to select to a certain extent, and so like a portion of them are really interested in marketing to the affluent, and they'll pay to add that, and it's a separate charge, that whole dynamic is different. And you have people who are really interested in info marketing and a bunch of others who aren't. And the ones who are pay now or a separate subscription membership for that. It's a different dynamic than bundling and price increasing. That's why you see so much of it.
Can I ask a real quick question, Dan? The thought process as far as making the decision to do that instead of trying to do an Ascension? Do an Ascension model?
It doesn't rule out Ascension.
Okay.
In fact, you wind up with little Ascension pyramids in everything you have in a family of publications or memberships. So it doesn't rule out Ascension.
Okay. Yes.
So that's why you see it. One of the big issues with continuity is whether you build a continuity program that is about satisfaction by consumption, or a continuity program that is about satisfaction by use and application. The second is much stronger, and it typically lends itself more to creating some kind of actual pain of disconnect. But it is much harder to get to big numbers because the overwhelming majority of people are far more willing to consume than they are to actually do things. They can be satisfied with a mix of entertainment, information, recognition, fraternity, and be made happy with that without the confrontational challenge of value being determined by whether or not they're actually using what's being presented to them and getting some result from it, be that income increase, wealth increase, happier marriage with less arguments, weight loss, whatever. And when you go to scale, if you want numbers, and if you want big numbers, the main portion of your business has to be the former, not the latter. Meaning it has to be satisfaction based on consumption, not satisfaction based on use. Like the problem Peloton has, which I think is unfixable. So Peloton had this enormous tidal wave of sales and popularity during the virus lockdown. And a lot of people running businesses idiotically behave like that was going to be a permanent condition. So like Amazon massively overbuilt distribution centers. They're now closing them because once people weren't locked up anymore, they divided their purchasing. So Peloton's problem is they got a lot of customers while all the customers were locked up and couldn't go anywhere. And the people actually used the Peloton because they were locked up and couldn't go anywhere. And that kept the subscription in place, and everybody. Satisfaction was based on the fact that they were actually using the damn thing. Now, virus lockdowns go away, and people can actually go take a real walk outside. People can go take a real walk with real friends outside. They can go back to the gym. They can, in the morning, leave the house, go to Dunkin' Donuts or Starbucks, go places, and never exercise, et cetera, et cetera. So the usage of the Peloton dropped through the basement. And there was no Peloton owner satisfaction to be had. You weren't using it. In fact, it bred dissatisfaction because your monthly subscription payment appeared on your credit card every month. Your machine was too big to fold up and put under the bed. So it was sitting somewhere glaring at you every day that you weren't using it. And Peloton's whole business crashed. I don't know what their consumption answer would have been. Typically, the answer in the fitness business is not continuity. But that was their problem. Now, if you can build a dual business, you can have the best of both worlds. And specifically talking about you, I think you have that, you know, essentially existed, just needing dodged and more closely interlaced. So your ClickFunnels business, satisfaction tied to usage. And it also has a utility component that it can be unplugged. And it's not that it can't be replaced, but it certainly is inconvenient. So those who will do out of the bigger population of, let's call it no BS, who won't do much, but will be happy for long periods of time as consumers of information, education, entertainment, recognition, fraternity. Those who will do will be part of both, however that's structured. And their retention can be gluier because of the usage. But it's much easier to get to big numbers when we're not asking people to actually do anything. Imagine if the streaming business sucks anyway, which I predicted from the beginning. They're all in trouble, and Disney can't make the numbers. You're not going to see streaming for 24 months. But setting that aside, imagine if Disney Plus streaming is actually structured as a way to be a better parent and engage with your kids. So it required you to do things with your children related to the shows and movies everybody was watching on Disney Plus. Imagine how the numbers would drop. Look at done for them kinds of businesses in the info industry. Industry Geyer certainly built the biggest. You could add everybody else's coaching program together and it wouldn't match Geyer's. And it was entirely based on the premise of we'll fix your staff for you, not we'll coach you up on how to fix and manage your staff. Oh, we'll fix your staff for you. And we'll run the incentive program tied to the answering of the phone. We'll run the mystery shopping and monitoring that's required to continue getting the phone answered right, et cetera, et cetera. I've never envied him the business. Fulfillment of that is complicated and painful and, you know, all of that. But it's a hell of a lot easier to sell to much bigger numbers than is eventually we'll fix you and then you'll fix everybody. The other thing about continuity is that membership concept versus subscription, which you've done at ClickFunnels, and we've done, although it has had years of function. Membership concept or retention is extremely important versus someone just, their idea is that they're a subscriber, that they have a subscription. When it's their club and it is their place and it is their fraternity, they are engaged with it every imaginable way. They are competing in contests. They are winning recognition. They are attending events. They've got plaques up on the wall, got pins and ribbons and apparel, on and on and on. The retention rate, much higher. That's a place I am less likely to leave with slight provocation. It'll take a lot of provocation for me to leave that. And for many years, the Playboy clubs were really good at this. And Hefter understood it very well. Disney has done it very well with the adult fan who has no kid, with D23. Journals, which are dying out because they didn't modernize, so their customers are aging out. But 50s, the 60s, 70s, and the 80s, your fraternals, from BFW to, I can't even think of the name of it, but, Knife and Fork Clubs, and After Dinner Speakers, Swap, Sales People with a Purpose, breakfast meetings and group meetings all across the country. Could actually make a living as a speaker, speaking free at swap clubs. Now, this is all gone. It's disintegrated. But when it worked because people felt they were an active, engaged member, not just a recipient, a subscriber, a customer.
Mm-hmm.
And your retention, which in continuity, you have two business problems, essentially, right? You have acquisition, bringing in new members, some number that isn't going to bankrupt you. Not easy. Disney's latest earnings report, raw top number, they beat the estimate of the number of new streaming subscribers, but if you look at the internal number, get a few hundred thousand, they spent over $1 billion. They'll never get that back. The attrition rates tell you they'll never recover the billion. So the acquisition is business problem number one. Business problem number two is retention.
Mm-hmm.
And how good you are at retention has a hell of a lot to do with what you could spend on acquisition. We spent a lot of time at Guthrie Renker on proactive on how can we keep them for one more month? Because the one more month looped around and had enormous impact on what you could spend to get them in the first place.
What type of things would you guys implement to try to get an extra month?
Well, we tried, I don't know, 1,000 things. Some worked, but the math didn't work because the price is so cheap, right? Mm-hmm. You're only getting $19 a month to $39 a month out of them. So, like, there's a limit to what you could spend dropping stuff, extra stuff on them. So path is always in the way of ideas.
Mm-hmm.
But we created a point reward program that worked. You got points that you could then use to redeem for merchandise and gift cards.
Mm-hmm.
And you got points from day one that were like behavioral shit. So like if you did a Yelp review, you got a point. You did an Instagram, whatever it was, 2 points. And automatically on your second month, you got 10 points. Your ability to get points for good rewards was rigged so that needed the fourth month. It's very hard to get to any decent rewards without the fourth month.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went back and re-rigged it, so it was very hard to get there without the fifth month. That worked. When we re-rigged it to the sixth month, it all fell apart, didn't work, and we had to go back and re-rig it for the fifth. And Dr. Ben Altadonna's continuity program with chiropractors, often there's a dropout spike. There wasn't no BS. So the first one is if you're doing free trials and MIFCs, you know, the first dropout spike is that first credit card charge. And there's another spike where sometimes it's the fourth month, the sixth month, the seventh month, every March because taxes are due in April, whatever. There's a spike. And in Ben's, it was the sixth month. And we had some money to work with because we were dealing with, I think the cheapest level was $497 a month. So in celebration of your 6 months, your surprise box arrived right before the 6 month charge with a box of enough brownies for the staff to all have a little party, some balloons to blow up, a framed certificate to put on the wall called 6 months something. I don't remember what we called it. And something else. I think like a logo vest for the doc. It all arrived in big box. Yeah, shit. To then cancel, right? So we guilted them over the hump of the 6 month charge. And the numbers were everybody that got past six, the next spike was a 10. So I bought the six. I was going to get the money from 7, 8, and 9 before I faced this problem again. Right? And a lot of times that spike shows itself. And so you can do something. If you have your events timed properly, your event marketing helps with retention.
Mm-hmm.
Because, okay, I'll stay a member long enough to go to X, right? Because I want to see Gene Simmons.
Mm-hmm.
So I was about to quit, but now I won't quit until after the SuperCon. Well, now if you get them to the SuperConference, we know what that does. We know how many months that buys. So we can make a decision about what we're willing to spend, get them to the super conference, what we're willing to spend on a super conference that will be irresistible to a lot of people. So the really big numbers businesses, like if you take Proactive or if you take Agora, they do a really shitty job with this. And in many cases, they can because they have such size and scope. But you aren't the Walmart of continuity. You aren't Costco in the continuity business. You are playing smaller. You know, Proactive was mud against the wall business. And it was all run by raw numbers. So there was not a great deal of enthusiasm for a lot of work, tension. And there were, you know, a limited number of tools because there were no events. Not that I didn't suggest them, but there were no events, etc. But if you are playing for hundreds of thousands, not tens of millions, you can do all these things. And you're almost going to have to do all these
things. My next question, I remember, and this kind of goes to what you just talked about, but I remember in Bill Glazer's mastermind back in the day, he used to always talk about how he's like, GKIC is in the two-thing business. We're the business of acquiring members and keeping members. That's all we focus on. And so obviously we that first half talked about a lot of the acquiring, but or the, sorry, retention, keeping the members. What are the things you've seen or noticed that have been the most successful for acquiring members, either from your existing herd, like getting people to finally convert and join your membership, or you know, going external, trying to get after more cold traffic and people?
The answer is totally dependent on maximum allowable cost, on what somebody will spend and spend to get a member. Because media choices and incentives and sales cycle tolerance all dependent on this. So like I just got a report from a client I'll talk to tomorrow because my private client days are 2 days following when I do this. And it over here, so let me grab it. So, good news is that his cost per sale into a coaching program is $16,292, and the lifetime value of the member is $136,500. So that math is just fine. The bad news is the sales cycle, depending on source and media, 19 months to 29 months, that they are in the system getting stuff, being driven to podcasts, being driven to webinars, being sent the next new free book, before they finally, and you're not making $100,000 sale, those numbers don't work. So there's things that he does that quote, quote, work, but they won't work with different numbers and or capital. So like I can buy you, costs have gone up a little bit, I can buy you all the quality new members you want with print, direct mail, radio, and TV at about $700 to $900 a member. And we can do it all day long. Their lifetime value, that number will be fine. So the problem is not the profitability of that. The problem is the capital. And again, if you look back to Proactive, their success almost put it out of business early because you couldn't finance it. The math was fine, except you needed a shitload of money. They got the guy that owns Revlon, can't think of his name right now, but he came in as an investor, 30% of the company, and wrote a huge check. I forget how much it was, but I mean a huge check, which then financed the growth. They bought him out later at a big premium. It was expensive money, but ultimately it was a bargain because they walked away with $1 billion. But so way back, Nightingale Conan, again, Lloyd juggled media to get to a dollar cost average that he could live with on customer acquisition. But they were running, $300, $400, sell the first $39 cassette program. And they weren't really doing continuity the way we think of it, but they were doing kind of informal continuity, meaning the core of the Nightingale Conan customer bought an album a month. And their marketing was driven to cause that. So you used up an album and you needed the next one. Now, they didn't think early on, I wouldn't have thought either, put that on auto ship, auto charge. Although, you know, the old book club model was that. It was done in dentistry with Nightingale Conan albums in the 80s called Samantodonics, which was a client of mine. They're now called Smart Practice. They had a like an Oprah book club, but for Nightingale Conan product. Every month, Dennis got his credit card whacked and the album shipped to him, and then had a teleconference teaching lesson with Dr. Rohde based on the album. And I think it was $99 a month, and they were buying the albums from Nightingale at wholesale for $15. Got that thing up to a few thousand. So there is there's a consumption issue, right? The stuff can't stack up. So got to get through it. So they got to know that there's time sensitive stuff in it that they may want to respond to, they may want to participate in. So the sealed envelope doesn't go in the B stack and, you know, never get open. There's an application here of the Rich DeVos rule that it's got to go some one way or another. It's got to go down the sink, so they need another bottle. I noticed, so when I was a Playboy Club member in Phoenix, to the club mostly for lunch, but occasionally dinner, and they had a little theater, and they have a psychic guy or a magician, you know. I was on the road for like 3 months where, I mean, I was not home. And my pattern when I was home was maybe once a week for lunch, once a month dinner and show. And after a month of being not going, flurry of activity to rescue me was incredible. Mail and phone, because internet was not found then. But they went into hyperdrive to try and prevent the loss when the alarm bell of loss went off. Bill used to talk about this, so you've heard it in the mastermind group too. both always talked about the alarm bell of impending loss of a customer. Like in his business, retail business, he had customers who typically came in every month. He had customers who typically came in every other month. He had customers who typically came in every season. And the minute a customer who came in every month didn't come in this month, a system was triggered. The minute the guy who comes in every other month didn't show up, a system was triggered. The minute the guy that comes in every season, a system was triggered. So, you know, the management of keeping them, as he described it, we're in the business of getting them and keeping them. The better you are at this, the better your options are for acquisition. We used a lot of cheap or pay-as-you-go rather than capitalized acquisition. Well, I never got to the point that I was, you know, ready to spend $600 a member to get them and have a marketing budget of $600,000 a month, capitalize that. But I sold the bill. I thought that's what would happen. Not. I don't mean that as a plate, by the way. When he sold to private equity, we both thought that was going to happen. Typically, one of the reasons private equity buys a company is they can see money math that works that just needs a lot of capital. They don't really have brains. They don't really bring brains to the table. They typically bring money, credit, and it didn't happen. So it actually has never happened. We spent money, but not much. I spent money, but not much. So we used the friends of network approach. So first of all, we birthed a lot of info marketers in a relative hurry who were niched. And were reteaching us and at least talking about us all the time, if not actually directly referring to us. Gave them a lot of free content that they could turn around and distribute, which does are much lazier than they are protective. Pretty much everybody did. So we maintained this network of friends of Dan and Bill. And they could be called upon from time to time also for an actual promotion. So they were doing acquisition. And then we were doing acquisition behind their acquisition. And hardly any of them were big, but the aggregate of them was significant. Overlapping that came the formal affiliate system, you are very familiar with. And we played it pretty well until it got, you know, crazy, where affiliates to play, you had to be renting the Playboy Mansion and letting everybody who made 10 sales come to the party at the Playboy Mansion. Top guy got a Lamborghini. That was too much for us. But we did play it pretty successfully for a while. had a number of $1 million and near $1 million product launches with the MIFGI on the back end of whatever was being sold. And those were ended roughly 30% regeneration from our house list. And the bulk of it from affiliates. By the way, we've always had a slow sales cycle behind a fast sales cycle. And I think most of these businesses do. One I quoted you just now is pretty extreme, but sales extreme. But it's not uncommon for us to finally get a member. Somebody to finally be at a super conference after hanging around, getting free email, occasionally buying a product, getting a catalog for years before they finally topple over. We also had a fast sales cycle because we couldn't live on the slow only, but everybody's got a slow one, whether they realize it. Not. And it's actually a benefit of longevity. So ran the affiliate thing, which, you know, is pay as you go. You don't really capital investment up front. You're just paying out the money as sales occur. Did a lot of content support for everybody. Bill really spent a lot of his time schmoozing those who were formal affiliates and were informal affiliates. Far more than some of this was, you know, manual labor. It fell apart because once we weren't doing it, nobody else had the status with these folks step in to that role. If you think about everybody that came after Bill, the only one that could have stepped in would have been me. AJ, Betty, Adam, they just didn't have that relationship status.
Yeah.
But we got a lot of members through these mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
We did spend from time to time on some print, on some direct mail, but Bill was only willing to do relative small amount of
it. Was all the focal point then, because you're doing different launches and things like that, but everything led to the MIFGI and eventually, and that's the thing that converted people into the membership. Is that correct?
Yeah, it either went to MIFGI or it went to immediate next month charge. You're a member tied to the product.
Mm-hmm.
One or the other. But yeah, the whole purpose was members that could be retained out the bottom. Like we did, Angel Conant, we got them to do, I got them to do it once, and then Bill and I got them to do it again. Mailing for Magnetic Marketing, their whole list.
Mm-hmm.
And it did very well. And they got 70% of the money. We took 30% in order to get them to do it. But, you know, we didn't care. We couldn't tell them that. but we didn't care about that money. I think we were still nickels and dimes positive. We'd have gone negative. because the whole game then was moving as many of those people as possible into membership.
Mm-hmm.
They, you know, immediately got the good news. They didn't see it up front like some usually do it, but they got the good news with their shipment that they also had this incredible free gift. Thank you, gift.
So in that case, they mailed, was it mailing the MIFKI or was it mailing a different offer and then attached to the MIFKI?
Their offer was directly selling magnetic marketing.
Okay.
And then the buyers got MIFKI as their surprise bonus gift.
Gotcha.
And I really don't think Vic Conant even understood what the hell we were doing.
Yeah.
So this was all being done at a grinded out level. To your point about size, it got us to a certain point, but there was a point that it would not get us. It would not get us past.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are media opportunities now to help balance out average cost of acquisition that didn't exist. Facebook was, you know, not really a marketing vehicle any time in our evolution.
Yeah.
The marketing vehicle any time during our evolution. Tend to hit a wall with those things. They have flaws. Still, they do get members. They can get them at a relatively low cost. So that can counterweight more expensive things that you are doing.
Very cool. One other thing I wanted to ask you, I know we have about 5 minutes left before I transition to Jim, but I remember something, and this is probably more of an ascension strategy, but I remember seeing offers and things you guys would send out to the membership base that would be like, I can't remember exactly, like if you sign up for a super conference, it's, you know, this price if you're a gold member, this price if you're a diamond member, and different prices. And if I chose the cheaper price, automatically ascended me up. Is that in my memory? Is that, do you remember that? Or is that something I made up in my head?
Close. It didn't automatically ascend you. But if you did the math at all,
mm-hmm.
and you were a gold member, and you were going to pay the gold member price, the diamond member price made about 6 months of the differential free. So, like, it was structured and shown so that you had to be a math idiot not to upgrade to diamond on a registration form so that you could get the diamond price.
Mm-hmm.
And that forced a lot. So you saw it with every event, including my mid-year. And that forced a lot of upgrades. And at the same time, the event itself was structured with things in it that only diamond members got. So like the grip and greet and photo that if you have a brain, you used on social media and you used in your own promotion and so forth. But so only diamond members got to go do that. And there was the Diamond Members Lounge. And usually there was at least one more activity that was Diamond Members only. So your calculation here was, look, if I upgrade to Diamond, savings in the registration is so great that half a year of Diamond is basically free. And I want to do these two or three things that only diamond members get to do. We did the last year with Adam, we did the Diamond Members reception on arrival night at South Fork Ranch, where the Dallas TV show was filmed. And big barbecue and a tour of the place. And of course, you can take pictures and so forth. And as I recall, I think that upgraded nearly half of the gold members when they registered for that event.
Can I ask a quick question, Dan, on that showing the prices at different membership levels? Would you show that to people who weren't members at all, like when you mailed your house list at some point?
Oh, yeah, yeah. We always had a non-member price.
Okay.
And you had to be a damned idiot. You had to be beyond stupid to pay it.
Okay.
I did have people pay it for the mid-year, by the way. I had people who were so pissed off at PKIC that they paid, you know, $1,500 more for the friggin' event rather than be a member.
Okay.
But yeah, I always showed it. Now, okay. I never won this argument, but were it up to me, I would always have product price the same way and show it. I always wanted to do it in the catalog. Here's the products, and here's the non-member price. Here's the gold member price. Here's the diamond member price.
That right there is multi-million dollar advice. I never thought to do that, but by God, the next thing I do is going to have that.
Well, if you go really prowl deep through our numbers, and the same dynamic I think exists probably in every business that has been structured kind of like ours. There are a handful or less of Rubicons that if you get somebody across, their months of retention take a leap, and their purchasing during those months takes a leap. For us, one of those has always been gold to diamond. The retention of diamond members much better than the retention of gold members. Attending a big event has huge impact on retention. And so, like, we made every effort tied to the event to get the upgrade beforehand at registration and at the event, right? So you could still run over there and upgrade while you were there. So you could go get your picture taken with Joan Rivers, get your picture taken with the Batmobile. You could do it at the last minute while you were on the premises. And everybody's got the ribbons, and the Diamond Members Lounge is very visible, and you can't go in it. So people would go over and upgrade. Because those two things stitched together, attendance and diamond, literally, that person is now going to be around for a long, 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 long time. And we were pretty good at advanced registration for the next event. So if we sold you next year's Super Conference, or at the Super Conference, we sold you the Summit that is 5 months away, you ain't dropping out of membership in between. We just locked in your retention. And we were pretty good at that. 40% of the room, 50% of the room, sometimes 60% of the room. Now, we did not carry it over into every place you could carry it over to, like what I just said about the catalog.
Right.
And there are catalog companies that understand this. Like, there's a company, They're a really well-run little company. You should look at them. They're called Bass Blue, B-A-S-B-L-E-U, and they sell books. They're a catalog company in the book business, and they're pretty clever, and they have a little membership. There's not anything really to it, but sort of like being an Amazon Prime member, right? So if you sign up for your Bass Blue membership, some dinky amount of money, I don't remember what it is, and then free shipping, and you get differential pricing on everything. And they show, here's the price, and here's the member price on every book in the catalog. If you're buying $3 or $4, it's stupid not to do it. Barnes & Noble does the same thing at the cash register.
Yeah.
The upsell they're actually good at, right? Is, gee, if you were a member, you'd save, you know, $48 today.
Right.
And the annual membership is $50. And do you want to do that? We can do that right now, right? Now, they're shitty at leveraging it after they do it. But I mean, they do it, right? And so there's differential pricing everywhere. And we, you know, I never got that done with product, but had it been up to me, I would have been doing it. Tried it with seating and then abandoned it because Diamond member has a buddy who's a Gold member. Now they can't sit together. So we abandoned it with seating. I think we did it 1 year and realized it was a mistake. It caused real grumbling. Now, the Diamond Lounge doesn't. So the guy will leave his buddy outside and he'll go into the lounge.
I got you.
The trick to the lounge, by the way, is visibility. Glass walls so people can see in, but they can't get in.
You've been listening to one of our Gold Members Only podcasts. Make sure you upgrade and become a Diamond member and get access to the Diamond Members Only podcast as well. On top of that, you'd also get access to the whole enchilada with all of Dan's courses and so much more. So make sure you upgrade to Diamond now by going to diamondupgrade.com.